Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.
This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and you are officially on the couch, as you always are, every Friday here. Beautiful Southern California. Los Angeles, another lovely day, and another great show here to help you out with your whole life, basically. Because I have an amazing guest, and he's written a terrific book, and you guys will want to definitely pick this up. And as I always remind you to download and replay all of my shows afterwards, because here's the deal. Everything will be able to be up in the archives, not only here on my LA Talk Radio website, but also in iTunes for free on the couch with Dr. Michelle. So we're going to talk about unlocking the greatness within you. Sort of the same title as the book. My special guest's book, and lots of other things that you're going to learn today about your own capability, about what you are capable of achieving in your life, which is amazing. Now, I want to also encourage you guys to call me, as I always do, if you have any questions or comments, and that's 323-203-0815. Otherwise, if you're shy and you don't want to get your voice on the air, you can email me at straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Comments, questions, anything you'd like to add, we're always welcome to that too, because all of my listeners have great things to add. You guys, you're terrific. So, you know, we're talking about the fact that we all have the extraordinary capacity to transform our lives. And I've talked about the fact that it's easier to do than we all might think. But, I mean, it's a lot easier, but we make it difficult for ourselves always. And as a matter of fact, as my special guest says, too often our own mental obstacles hold us back from achieving the joy and fulfillment and success that we all crave. So what we have to do is kind of rewire our brains. You know what I'm saying? You heard about that. We need to gain the ability to see the path toward the life we truly desire. So how do we do that? We have to unlock the greatness. Talking about the book, which we're going to talk about in a minute with the same name. And what the book is going to do, and I'm going to have the special guest author tell you more about it. But actually what he's doing is integrating the latest research into the brain's neuroplasticity. And there's ancient wisdom in there, which has been passed down through generations. And the practices of society's greatest achievers. So you can't go wrong with all this information coming in. And my special guest who wrote this book is on the air with me right now. The book's called Unlocking Greatness, The Unexpected Journey from the Life You Have to the Life You Want. I saw that and I said, yeah, I'm doing it. And the author is Charlie Hariri. He's the senior director of capital markets at R&R Realty, a multi-billion dollar real estate company based in New York. He hosts a weekly radio show and the Unlocking Greatness podcast. He was an associate clinical professor of management and he was an entrepreneur at the Sisim School of Business at Yeshiva University. And of course, Charlie is an internationally acclaimed speaker for subjects ranging from behavioral intelligence to performance management to personal empowerment. And you can find him all over the internet, and we'll tell you more about how you can find out about Charlie, what he has to offer, and get his latest book, Unlocking Greatness. So let's pull him up on the air right now. Charlie, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. What an honor to be on.
Oh, you're cool. It's my honor to have you, really. When I read your book, I said, oh, my goodness, this man's, he nailed it. You know, because you're coming from a lot of different disciplines, and you're coming from life's experiences, and you're coming from scientific research about neuroplasticity of our brain. So I was like, oh, sign me up for this one.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Oh, no, really? Wow. So I always like to find out from my guests who have written such good books, what was it within you that sort of unlocked your greatness? What was it that inspired you to say, man, I got to share some of these things? Or just that you actually came to some of these conclusions?
Thank you. Yeah, and I appreciate being here and sharing that story. You know, I grew up and I was always told as a little kid, I've got my parents are immigrants, and you know, they raised us young to work really hard, and you know, growing up, it was just a life of hard work, wake up early, outwork the competition, and one day I was a lawyer for many years, and one day I was sitting at a closing, and I saw a guy that walked in, and he just looked like he had his life together. You know, those people that walk in the room and the room is filled with their presence,
right?
And I walked up to him and I asked him, like, listen, I'm a young guy. I started my career as an attorney. Like, can you give me some advice? And he said to me, I'm going to give you one bit of advice, and you're not going to get it, but if you think about it, it'll make sense over time. I'm like, all right, that's a good intro. He said, most people work in their lives, but they don't work on their lives.
Ooh.
I said, that's interesting. He said, you'll live your life, and you'll work in your life. You will work in your job.
Right.
You'll work in your marriage. You'll work in your, but you're not going to work on it. You're not going to pull back. You're not going to look for wisdom. You're not going to ask, okay, this is how I do it, but how do the best people do it?
Yes.
If you want to be successful in life, you have to work in it, but you have to work on it.
Wow.
And that just set me for like a tizzy. Like, I was like, what in the world does that even mean? And that sort of sent me down a journey of trying to ask the questions of how does it work?
Right.
How do successful people do it? Why are certain people happier than others? Where does it come from? And I found that it doesn't come from their background, their DNA. And there is no real one sort of silver bullet that gives this person more success than others.
Huh.
It's their mentality. It's
right.
How they see the world. It's how they think.
Wow.
And I started researching it. It took a long time. I started teaching it at business school. That took even longer. And then I started giving people advice. And like you said, you come at it from different angles. What is spirituality saying about this? What did science say about this? What are people actually doing? And then it got to a point where I was repeating myself so often that I said to myself, hey, I'm just going to write this down.
Yes.
Give it to somebody and say, before we talk, read this.
Yeah.
And then this became, you know, 10 pages, 20 pages, 50 pages. And then all of a sudden this became, hey, this should actually be a book. And that's how we started the process of writing this book.
Oh, that's amazing, too. I mean, and it is. It's like a journey. And I know you're a religious person. And that I think that really created a great foundation for you as well. Don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. I find that when you grapple with the divine, when you grapple with things that you can't touch and feel, you have to push your brain to a place where it wouldn't comfortably go itself.
Yes.
And when you have both the ability to spend part of your day thinking about God, thinking about the divine, thinking about spirituality, and trying to make that real, and then at the same time seeing, hey, what does science say? When you can look at it from both lenses, you really get a nice sort of large perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And in many cases, I find that's why in the book particularly, I try to put both in.
Mm-hmm.
I have the first few sections on science, street science, and I have some sections on spirituality.
Yeah.
Not religion necessarily, but spirituality. And I did it because I want the reader to have the benefit of both disciplines.
Yes.
To see it from different angles and not to be stuck in the world of, all right, this is the one way I see it. Because when you think in one way, you miss the picture.
Right. Exactly. No, you have to think of many ways. You have to cover all the bases, actually. So,
right.
My favorite thing right off the bat here is, and I totally believe in it, but it's again, one of those things that's really easy to hear and go, oh, yeah, but it's you have to really contemplate it and realize how much power we hold and how brilliant we all are. And that statement you say is, our minds shape reality. So can you elaborate on that a little bit more?
Sure, absolutely. What we all experience, we all want great lives, right? We all want to feel good. We want to feel empowered. We want to feel happy.
Right.
And we look out to the world in front of us, to reality, so to speak, and say, hey, reality, can you give me a good life?
Right. Right?
Most people look around and go, hey, everybody out there, can you give me goods? Can you be nice to me? Can you give me love? Can someone give me some money? Like, we're waiting for the world to, like, hand us things. And with those things, we're like, oh, if I get these things, then I'm going to feel these things,
yes.
right? And we're all just sitting around waiting for this to happen to us.
Right.
And if we've got good days and bad days, so if you're working at a job and your boss is nice, you have a good day.
Right.
And what if your boss is not nice? You have a bad day.
Right.
So we spend our lives, like, hoping, so to speak, that reality gives us what we want. But the way it works our mind is that actually the mind is filtering in the world around us. We're
right.
not seeing the world around us.
Right.
We're seeing a small subset of the world around us. And what's happening is the beliefs that we have are actually creating, if you will, a filter called a schema. And that filter is only letting in certain things and blocking out other things.
Yeah.
And so for the person that walks into work and says, my happiness is really based on me and how I see situations, and if I give it my all every day, then I'm going to be happy with what I've done, regardless of what anyone else says to me.
Right.
And they think that way, and they have that perspective. What will happen in their brain is their brain will actually literally rewire itself.
Right, right.
It's amazing. It'll literally rewire itself so that when they walk into a room, they will instinctively pick the things in the room that will support their belief that their happiness is based on their efforts.
Ah.
They're not based on someone else's opinions.
Right.
And they will feel happier.
Yes.
So what's happening is their mind, their beliefs, are shaping the way they experience everything around themselves.
Right.
And
right.
this is what I've learned early on. Most people will spend their lives trying to control the world around them.
Right.
And not their lives trying to work on the mind that they have and let the world be the world.
Right.
And what happens is when you're working on your internally, not only do you care less about what the world thinks of you, the world actually thinks more of you because you're doing what's right.
No, it's
and
true. Yeah.
Once you can realize how powerful your mind is, it'll change everything.
I agree. And don't you think it's, you know, it's the old, you know, thoughts that wire together, fire together, and it's all about, you know, repetition and rehearsal of continually sort
Absolutely.
Of changing up the way you perceive things. And not
Absolutely.
Assume, not assume the negativities. So we are we're the captain of our destiny, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. What the thoughts that we have sort of fire these neurons that create these connections.
Mm-hmm.
And if you put in your mind thoughts that are empowering thoughts. And this people, it almost feels like it's magic.
Yeah.
And people will do it because they're like, no, it has to be, it doesn't feel real. I'm like,
right.
yeah, but you don't know how your brain works. Your brain is real. If you want to feel empowered, the feeling of empowerment comes from you being able to focus on things that empower you. And anytime you engage in negativity, what's happening is the negativity is actually firing neurons in your brain to make you more negative.
Right.
To make you see the world and immediately find the nuance that's negative.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell people all the time, toxic cultures are bad for you. When you hear that friend complain all day, the first 2 minutes maybe you're being a good friend. Once you engage in that negative behavior,
right.
once you start talking about your boss or your husband or your wife, and
right.
just like gain, what ends up happening is your brain fires all these neurons and you create these connections and you're actually wiring your brain
yes.
to look for what's wrong with your life.
Yes.
Which makes you more disempowered, which makes you more unsuccessful, which then makes you think more negativity.
Right.
And people don't realize that they're, like you said, the captains of the ship. They think that they're the passive players. People think they're on the passenger side of their lives.
Right.
They're actually in the driver's seat.
God, we really are. By the way, in case you just tuned in here, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle and my special guest, an amazing author and an attorney, of course. He wrote the book Unlocking Greatness, The Unexpected Journey from the Life You Have to the life you want. And it really is an amazing journey for you to understand the way that you create your life through your own thoughts and lack of practice of trying to create positive things in your life, taking action, sort of philosophy in here, a little bit of, you know, a little bit of spirituality, a little bit of religion, some good old stories. And basically, there's also some workbook material in here that gets you thinking about things to change up your life, right? So you can do things for yourself and not depend on other people out there to fill you up, but to know that you have the power and you have the intelligence. You just have to work on your brain a little bit. This magnificent thing that we all have that's capable of creating anything that we would really like. And how to sort of navigate through the ups and downs of life. Because the downs in life can take us down to a spiral and then just create a bigger snowball of negativity. So, you know, I was thinking, Charlie, it sometimes is in my practice, what I hear from a lot of people is, it's so hard to change my thinking. It's so hard. I grew up in this really tough, you know, environment, and my parents were negative, and I was always pushed to have to do this. And, you know, I felt guilty my whole life. And, you know, so how can I just unlock greatness all of a sudden when my whole life is about, you know, guilt and negativity, and it's just wired into me? So what would you have to say to some of these people?
So it's a great question, and in fact, it's really timely because I just, on the latest, you know, I have a podcast every week called Unlocking Greatness,
right.
And I, in that podcast, expound on the book. This was this week's podcast.
Cool.
And it was about an interview that I had when I was in Arizona on the book tour. Hmm. And I'm sitting at a wonderful interview where I was a host of a morning TV show. And she said a very similar question. She said, hey, listen, I got, you know, people reading the book and they asked the following question. Like, I just can't do it. I just can't. It's just not me.
Right.
And I said to her this, and it sort of snowballed into a larger conversation on the podcast. I said, you know what? If you can't do it, fine. I'm not going to fight you. How about this? Give me a half an hour, you pretend. She said, what? I said, a half an hour a day. I want you to pretend to be powerful. Hmm. Pretend to be kind. No, it's not you. Forget it. I'm not going to ask you to convince yourself. Because here's what's going on. If you've got all these neurological connections of negativity,
right. If
you become positive, it's going to feel unnatural. Because your brain is filled with negativity. Mm-hmm. And when you do something that you don't typically do, it will feel unnatural.
Right.
Just like it's unnatural for somebody who's used to eating donuts to eat lettuce. Right?
Right.
It's unnatural. Now, if you know it's the right thing to do, people get stuck because they're so scared to feel fake.
Right.
But guess what? Whenever you want to change, the beginning of change will feel like it's not you.
Yes. Yes.
So I tell people all the time, you know what? Don't fight your mind. Mm. Work with it.
There you
Fake
go.
Fake it till you make it.
Yeah.
Give me an hour a day where you're just going to be optimistic,
mm-hmm.
where you're going to go through your day and say, it's going to be wonderful, hopeful. Give me a day where you're going to be generous,
yes.
where when you do a favor for somebody, you're not thinking, well, when are they going to do a favor back to me?
Mm.
Give me 1 hour a day to fake it, because what that 1 hour will do is as follows. The actions, even if they're not, so to speak, naturally forthcoming.
Right.
The actions will fire new connections.
Mm-hmm.
And the new connections will get stronger.
Wow.
And if you give me an hour a day where you get to fake being the person you want to be,
mm-hmm.
over the course of a month and a year, that person will become you.
Wow. It's because go ahead.
Yeah, people could just do that for a couple of minutes a day, they'll see a massive change.
That's amazing. Because it is. It's like training your brain. It's like that old, you know, musculofacial thing. If you smile, even though you're depressed, you know, what happens is the brain sort of reacts to that response of smiling. And then after a while, you're just kind of smiling and you don't know why. And it's you're training your brain to use those muscles to smile. And then it comes naturally, too. So.
Oh, absolutely. And in fact, there's some great research by a woman named Amy Cuddy.
Mm.
I have this actually. I just sent this out. I have a newsletter every week, so I just sent out her video.
Yeah.
So there's a great research where she actually took people And like you just said, this is great research that you mentioned about smiling and what smiling does to somebody.
Yeah.
How amazing it does. It fires. So here's what she did. Listen to this. It's fascinating.
Okay. Yeah.
She made she gave people pens.
Yeah.
And she put them in their mouths. So now they had to fake smile, right? Because if they're a pen in your mouth, you have no choice but to smile.
Right.
So they didn't even want to smile. They had to just fake the smile. And then she found that the impact of smiling was equal for those that did it naturally and those that faked it. So it just goes to show that even if you're going to fake a feeling, it doesn't matter.
Right.
The brain can't tell the difference.
Right.
And we're stuck until we realize, like, just go do it and your brain will figure it out.
Exactly. That makes so much sense. It's like people who have fears or phobias or, you know, social issues, you know, it's sort of like exposure. You just get yourself out there and just kind of try it. I know it's going to feel a little weird and uncomfortable, but just sort of expose yourself to a social situation slowly. Take those baby steps. Get in there and just see it's not going to kill you. It may feel a little uncomfortable or it may feel a little odd or whatever. But like you said, put that pen in your mouth. You're going to start smiling a little bit, but it's going to come natural after a while. It's going to be okay. You're learning that nothing bad will come of it. Good things will come of it. You just have to train your brain to do it, you know?
Which
leads me to the power of our brains and the concept of plasticity. Now, this is such a cool thing because, I mean, I know, you know, just from being a psychologist, I read, you know, our plasticity usually is good until we're 8 years old. And then, you know, well, the latest research says no. Our brains are, you know, allowing for more plasticity. Should we lose the functioning of one particular organ in the brain, sometimes it can switch, you know, over duties, whatever it is. You know, people who have certain kinds of concussions or certain kinds of brain damage. It's easier when they're younger, but still we do have the ability to change up our brain functioning with our thoughts. Can you talk more about understanding how powerful our brains are and that concept of plasticity?
Oh, sure. Plasticity is the most powerful thing that I've ever heard in my life. It's basically the concept that every time you have a thought, the thoughts will create a neurological connection in your brain. Mm. And the more you have similar thoughts, the more those connections will get stronger and stronger and stronger. So what that means is, if somebody thinks, if you're out there and you think that you don't know information or you're not this type of person, it's not you that's not the person. It's the brain that doesn't have the experience.
So
if you just do certain things, rituals, or you do certain habits again, or you have certain thoughts, your brain can actually fire and create new neurostructure.
Yes.
Which is amazing. And in the book, we actually have some great studies of people that actually grew their muscle without even working out. They thought about working out, and their muscles grew. We have stories of people that were blind from birth and that could see by using their tongue.
Ugh.
Like, really crazy stories of doctors that took out half a brain.
Yes.
And the brain that was able to compensate, and that person could live the mostly normal life.
Mm.
Just unbelievable thing the brain can do. And what I tell people all the time is that most people think they're driving around a beat up used car for a brain.
Right.
When they were given an F-16.
Oh,
and if they just understood they need to pull the throttle, they would fly.
Yeah.
And where most people are is they just assume that there's nothing, there's not, because they couldn't memorize in eighth grade. And because the teacher gave them a D, because they couldn't analyze chemistry in 11th grade, they felt, oh, my brain isn't like someone else's brain.
Yes.
It's not true.
Yeah.
Their brain is built, I believe, given by God, given to them with the capacity to do so much.
Mm-hmm.
And if they would just start to think the right thoughts, and they would start doing the right action, they would be shocked by just how much they can accomplish.
Yes. It's so true. And in your book, Unlocking Greatness, you know, we've already talked about some of the great tools to help us focus and control our brains. And, of course, you have them in your book to help folks start making those positive changes. But you also suggest, which is a really great chapter, that we first have to identify what it is we want in our lives versus what we need. So what's the difference between the two? I mean, it sounds like a no-brainer, no pun intended. It sounds pretty easy, but it's really important to sort of really identify those two and how we can find what we really want.
Yeah, I mean, this is a great distinction that many people don't make.
Yeah.
They live their lives and they have needs. We all have internal needs.
Right.
You have a need to connect to human beings. You have a need to feel like we are good at the things we do in life. We've got basic fundamental human needs.
Right.
But what happens is we grow up in a society and they tell us, here's how you fulfill your needs. So if you grow up in a sports family and you want to feel competent, which is a human need to be a master at something, you were probably told, if you want to be competent, mm-hmm. if you want to be a master at something, yeah. here are the sports. Choose one. And if you're not good at sports, you feel like you're not competent. Mm. If you grew up in an educational family, you may have been told, if you really want to be good at your life, here are the grades and the schools you've got to get into.
Yeah.
And now if you don't get into one of those schools, you say, I'm not the need of competency. I can't do it. I can't fulfill it.
Yes.
But we don't realize that these things that the society around you is not giving you needs, they're giving you wants. You want something because what you want will help you fulfill the need.
Yes. Yes.
So if I want to eat, I need to eat. So I say, okay, if I need to eat, I'm going to want food from my fridge. But I can get food from 100 places.
Right.
So my wants could be interchangeable.
Hmm.
And this is where most people don't realize.
Right.
If I live at the level of needs, I can have many wants. But if I live at the level of wants, I'm going to be stuck.
Right.
I'm going to want what my parents want for me.
Oh, yes.
I'm going to want what my society wants for me.
Right.
I'm going to want what my friends want. Mm. But what I really, really, really deep down want is to fulfill my needs. So as soon as I get down a notch and get, hey, wait a second, I need to feel competent. If I'm not being competent in sports, maybe I'm better at a different talent.
Right.
If I'm not competent at this, maybe I can be competent at that. When I'm in a relationship, we have a need to connect to human beings. We may have a want to connect to that specific human being, and if that human being doesn't want to be connected to us, or that human being moves away, we may be broken. But
yeah.
if we realize that the need is a human being, and maybe it's not that human being, maybe
yeah.
it's somebody else.
Right, exactly.
And once you deepen yourself and you realize that there are needs you have to fulfill,
mm-hmm.
your wants open up so much further than what you had originally thought.
Mm. Beautifully said. It's so true. And all of this and more, by the way, you can read, listeners out there. Charlie Harari's book, it's called Unlocking Greatness, The Unexpected Journey from the Life You Have to the Life You Want. And in a little bit, we're going to be telling you how you can find out more about Charlie and what he has to offer. Read his book, get his book, and also watch his podcast. He's great. He has some wonderful information for you. So, you know, if you have any questions or comments, there are some emails coming in, and maybe this might be a really perfect time to ask you this, because I have this email from Joshua, and he writes, hey guys, great topic, would love to get the book. Okay, great, we'll tell you in just a bit. But how...
Thank you, Joshua.
How do you incorporate metaphysical beliefs into your book to help us become better people? Okay, I like that.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So you'll see in the book, we speak about these ideas of spiritual needs, which metaphysical, spiritual type needs, where we delve even deeper and speak about how our souls are basically the engine of our feelings and who we are.
Right.
And these souls have needs, and the needs really are the ability to connect to another human being and the ability to feel significant.
Mm.
And while we go through life, what we have are two options to fulfill these spiritual needs.
Mm-hmm.
One is to do so by taking. So if I need to feel significant because I've got inside me some source that's so much bigger than anything around me,
yes.
right? And I know it and I feel it. So I want to feel significant. So I can do it by having people say that I'm significant. I can let my ego drive.
Right.
And I can collect trophies.
Yes.
And I can demand people to tell me how great I am and put my name in places. Or I can do it by giving. I can do it by being of value to somebody else.
Yeah.
And when you focus on being significant in a way that's selfless, what happens is your soul connects to what I speak in the book called unified energy, which is this larger, if you will, connection that we have to humanity.
Yes.
Yeah. That's what we feel. That's what inspires us. Right. You ever ask yourself, why am I ever inspired? If you ever look and analyze the moments of inspiration, it's whenever you feel yourself less and connected to something more.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
You drive down the street, you see some sunset, and you go, wait a second. This is incredible.
Wow.
The world that I live in, I feel a little bit less, right? Because I'm not this.
Right.
But I feel like I'm part of it. And that feeling of thinking of self less and other more is inspiring.
It is.
That's why the people that we are inspired most by are not the people that have accumulated the most stuff.
Right.
They're the people that have actually done the most for other people.
Yes.
And when you understand your spiritual needs, your metaphysical, where you come from, and your metaphysical needs, you can now navigate your brain and your focus to allow you to be more, and that will ultimately make you feel differently and allow you to accomplish more in this world.
Ah, beautifully said. Beautifully said. And thank you, Joshua, for emailing. Appreciate that. And that's a great answer, and hope that helped you out a little bit, because it really makes a lot of sense. You know, I work with, you know, folks who have some personality disorder issues, we call them. And it's, you know, some of those Axis 2 cluster Bs are a little pesky and get in the way of our lives and our ability to connect with people and to give with people. And I'm talking about the narcissistic personality disorder, the antisocial. Like you said, it's about what you have. It's not about what you have, what you can get from other people. It's about how you can be part of everyone and what you give. No matter what you give to others is enriching. So you're letting go of that ego. You're becoming more humble, you know. And humility is huge when you sort of meld in with the, you know, the feeling of embracing, wow, this is, I'm part of this joy, I'm part of this greatness. That itself is, you know, an amazing feeling. So I think this, you know, these tools in this book also will help people chill out a little bit, you know, on these ego needs and realize that you don't have to fight so hard. It's not a fight. It's you know, understanding who you are and allowing yourself to learn the principles and the metaphysical principles that you talk about as well that are so important, you know, that we all have the spirituality we will ever need. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah, that's a great piece, and I'm happy that you mentioned it. I speak to you all the time about, I'm not spiritual, I'm not connected, I'm not more.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you don't get it. Like, you have inside you a spark of the divine, and that is more spirituality than you'll ever need your whole life. You never have to become great. You are it. You have to reveal it.
Right.
That is the biggest distinction that people don't get. They think they have to become great.
Right.
Because they were told that great people are on that screen or on that billboard or on that thing. And when you get to be like that, then you can feel greatness. No.
No.
You are great.
Yeah.
You just got to reveal it. You got to dig in for it. You got to allow yourself to stop being distracted by the world that wants to sell you something and want to put you in a box that says, hey, everybody, in this little ecosystem that we've built, these people are the greatest. And it just happens to be that since it's my ecosystem, I'm one of them.
Yes.
Versus you have something inside you and life's journey is bringing it out.
Right.
And how do you bring it out? Exactly the way you said. It begins with understanding that the more it's about me, the less I will feel great.
Yes.
And that's counterintuitive. And most people will not even believe it when I say it, but it's true.
Yes.
The more it's about me, the harder it is for me to feel great.
Right.
Because real greatness is deeper than the things I buy or get or accumulate.
Yes.
And when I live my life in pursuit of some selfish, I got to feel a certain way, I'm going to have to buy everything all the time and I'll never feel it.
Mm-hmm.
But if I live my life and I allow myself to be part of something bigger, if I live my life and I allow myself to think of you before me, now I have accessed mm-hmm. a deeper piece of myself, and that deeper piece feels amazing.
Yeah.
And as you were talking about the value of humility, I heard a great line that I literally live by, and that is that humility is not thinking less of yourself.
Yeah.
Humility is thinking of yourself less.
Yes.
And to me, that's
amazing. I love
it. And in the book, we speak about the story of Miracle, right? The story
yes.
of the hockey players.
Yes,
because they were able to think of each other.
Yes.
They accomplished bigger things.
Yes. Can you elaborate a little bit more on that story? Because it was really a good read. It was really good in your book.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, this is one of the most inspiring sports stories, and I'm a big sports fan I've ever encountered.
Yeah.
And the movie was made about it that I thought was so powerful. And basically, it's the story of the 1980 Olympic hockey team.
Right.
That the miracle story, right? The 1980 the Olympic hockey team, the men's Olympic team that beat the Russian team. And for those that were old enough to remember it, it was such a big story because back in those days, if you were a professional hockey player, you weren't allowed to play in the Olympics.
Yes.
So the United States has the NHL. So all basically the best hockey players were eliminated, and Russia at that time had a professional league.
Right.
And they were great hockey players. They just weren't considered to be in a professional league. So they were able to send their best hockey players that were so good.
Uh-huh.
That just to give context to the listeners, they were so good that the week before, they came and played the NHL players and won.
Oh, my gosh.
So they were like the best team arguably in on the planet.
Right, right.
And now they were playing a bunch of college kids.
Yeah.
Right? Because that's a world. This coach, Herb Brooks, had really no shot.
Mm.
So he devised a system where they would have to play like one huge sort of, you know, team. And they weren't because they were college guys, right?
Right.
Like they just came out of their own rivalry. Like just last week they were playing a college game. They were hockey players, right?
Right.
They weren't sitting around holding hands. They were hockey players. So these are tough college kids that last week were beating each other up
right.
because they hated each other because one was from Minnesota, one was from Boston or whatever. And now they got to, like, play together, and the thing wasn't working. And after one of the games, he just had them stay after the game, basically skate these drills. And they were so tired and exhausted, and he kept on yelling at them the following line.
Right.
And it was so inspiring. And the line was, when you put on the jersey, your problem, guys, is that you don't appreciate that the name on the front, USA, is more important than the name on the back.
Mm.
And that message, until one of the players got it and said he played for the United States, and the players needed to get that lesson, right? You can be who you are.
Yeah.
You can have your name on the back. You can have your value. In fact, diversity only extends when you play for something beyond yourself. However, if you're playing for yourself, we'll never make it. Mm. When you humble yourself to think of the team first, not only do you take less, you become more, but your more is now because you are connected to more.
Right, right.
And when that team realized that we're never going to make it because of my way and my team and my college, when that team realized that we're only going to win when we all humble our own selves to play for the United States of America, they became this team that was greater than one player, and they beat the Russian team and won the gold.
Wow.
And to me, that's the story of life.
Yes, it is.
When you could look around at your marriage, at your children, at your company, at your community, at wherever you are, and search for the capacity to think that the collective is greater than me, you not only find a piece of yourself you never found before, but you find a empowerment and an inner greatness that would never have come to the surface if all you're doing is collecting trophies and waiting for someone to tell you how great you are.
Yes, it's so true. It's you. Well said. I mean, that is amazing. And it's a very important lesson in our growth. And, you know, guys, if you're the women, if you're locking on to anything that is not that, no matter what age you are, and you're wondering why you're not happy and you don't understand why you're not achieving what you want, you've got to really grasp that. That is a huge concept. And, you know, go within. Meditate on this a little bit. Do some workshopping on it. Write it. You know, write these concepts down, you know, about how you feel about giving to others, how you feel you know, within yourself, and try to take that ego base out of it, because it really, yeah, great, it serves us for a while, and but it's not the goodies for me. It's not the goodies in life. It doesn't bring the goodies to our souls. You know, in case you just tuned in here, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle and my special guest, Charlie Harari. Charlie, by the way, is a business executive in New York. He was an associate clinical professor of management and entrepreneurship at the System School of Business at Yeshiva University. He also has a radio show, by the way. You can check him out. It's called the Unlocking Greatness Podcast. And, of course, Charlie is an internationally acclaimed speaker for subjects ranging from behavioral intelligence to performance management to personal empowerment. So you can also pick up his book. And all these concepts, by the way, are given in this book, Unlocking Greatness. It's the unexpected journey from the life you have to the life you want. It's one of these really good reads where you kind of want to not put the book down because you're going, okay, now what next? Now what can I learn next? There's examples of real life people, real life situations, and things for you to think about as well that relate to your own life. And, you know, there's a lot of, pondering. Put this down and think about what you just read, or read it again. It's powerful. You know what I'm saying? So you'll really want to check this out, guys. Speaking about powerful, I just was, you know, before we kind of roll around to wrapping up here, I wanted you to share, if you could, Charlie, some of the most important concepts that you feel you can bring to listeners to help them work through their feelings of disempowerment.
Yeah. I think one of the greatest challenges of disempowerment is that people mistake challenges for problems. Hmm. What I've learned growing up is that greatness is the product of deliberate discomfort.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to achieve greatness in your life, the price you pay,
yeah,
is discomfort. There is no other way. It's not like everybody else that's great flew into it and I'm stuck.
Yeah.
It's not like the people that I look on the screen that are winning gold medals or have these beautiful lives. It's not like they just woke up one morning. And for those that actually woke up, they can't keep it for more than a minute.
Right.
Because greatness is the product of putting yourself in positions of discomfort. Mm-hmm. Now, here's what people mess up.
Yeah.
They don't appreciate following nuance.
Mm.
Most of what life brings to you that's going to give you the greatest joy is packaged in discomfort.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The marriage that's going to be an amazing marriage is going to have moments that's uncomfortable.
Right.
The kid that's going to make you the parent that you can be won't be waking up in the morning and saying, oh, I'm one. No, it's okay, Mommy. I'll handle myself. You just do your thing, and I'll just put myself to bed for the next... No, that's not how it works.
Yeah.
It's when you see the world, and your perspective is, oh, man, I knew this wasn't going to work out.
Right.
It's hard.
Right.
That's going to be your life. When you see the world, and you take the disempowerment feelings and say, hey, wait a second. If it's packaged in discomfort, in that package is my greatness,
mm-hmm.
is my joy, is my fulfillment. If that's how you approach every second of your life, you will convert your disempowerment to empowerment, and you will find just how strong you really are.
Yes, that's amazing. And, you know, there's something about the bittersweetness of the difficulty, as we call it, or the disempowerment, you know, or things we have to go through. Or it's about the life's journey. So it's almost, for me, you know, I express to people to embrace that bittersweetness, embrace the pain, learn what you don't want in order to define what you do want. But it's sort of like that concept, bring it. It's okay. I'm not going to resist. I'm not going to fight. I'm going to learn through this difficult time in my life with my adolescent child, or you know what I'm saying, or overcoming, you know, some of the issues of who I am in my workplace. That kind of thing. It's, I know who I am. I'm okay with that. And I'm going to embrace some of the unpleasantries because it's going to help me on my learning experience. And it's going to prepare me to be a stronger person, not more defensive, and build up more angry defense mechanisms, it's going to empower me to just kind of see it down the road and be okay with it. That's
right.
Sort of what I get out of it. And but I think the way you put it in your book is a lot more eloquent.
that was very eloquent.
Oh, thank you. But no, really, I just, that's sort of basically what you're saying, I guess. So maybe you can give us some last parting words. If you were to sort of really express to listeners a real powerful message that you want them to think about, that you write about in your book, Unlocking Greatness. Just a little, just drop one. Say, guys, you know what? I want you to think about this before we leave. What would that
be? So I'll leave it one of the ways I closed the book.
Mm-hmm.
I hired for a couple of months a physical trainer. I was, you know, trying to work out and get more, you know.
Yeah.
And then before the book stuff started. And I remember sitting in the gym and we had this interesting fight, me and my trainer.
Right.
I look at him, he says, okay, get underneath the bench and start doing, you know, reps.
Right.
And I look at him and I go, okay, I'm done. He goes, oh, no, you're not. I'm like, no, you don't know my body.
Yeah.
I know my body.
Yeah.
I'm done. This is it. He's like, oh, no, you're not. And we fought. And he's like, I can see your muscles. Your muscles are still, you still have capacity.
Mm-hmm.
And you got more in you. Mm-hmm. And we went back and forth, and I said, all right, you know what? I'm going to listen to you. And I finished the set, and I had it in me.
Yes.
And he walked out, and you know, he gave me one of those, like, told you. And what I realized after working out with a physical trainer is we don't know what we have inside us.
Mm.
In the Navy SEALs, they have a principle. It's called the 40% rule.
Mm.
When you think you can't do it anymore, you've only hit 40% of your capacity.
Wow.
We have been trained and conditioned to keep ourselves comfortable.
Yes.
And we all think that we have a line in which we can't go further.
Mm.
And that line is not true.
It's so true.
And if we just said to ourselves, I'm not going to decide my line. I'm going to let, and depending on where you are on the spectrum, the universe, the world, God, the divine, whatever the name you want to put to this.
Right.
I'm going to allow the world around me to define me.
Right.
To push me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to push myself and say, hey, I don't know my line.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'm stronger than I thought.
Right.
Maybe I can have a greater life than I had anticipated.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe if I did the work, I would have more. If we allow ourselves to not think that we know how much we can push ourselves,
mm-hmm.
but to go further,
right.
I am convinced, and I've seen it in my life, people that I've been able to work with,
right.
we would be shocked
yes.
by just how many more reps we have inside us.
Beautifully said, Charlie. Thank you so much for being such a great guest on the show. We're out of time already. I can't even believe it. But Would the best way for listeners to find out more about you and also, you know, watch your television podcasts and listen to you speak and pick up your book, of course, would that be charlieharari.com? Is that the best place to find you?
Yeah, absolutely. You can go to charlieharari.com.
Okay.
If you are on Amazon, you can just type in Unlocking Greatness. The book will come up. You can buy it right there.
Perfect.
If you go to the website, you'll get all the other stuff there as well. We've got podcasts. We've got a weekly newsletter.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a lot of things we do every week.
Yeah.
And we'd love to continue the conversation, and I thank you so much for the chance.
Oh, absolutely. Love to have you come back on the show. Okay.
Would love that.
All right.
Thank
cool.
you.
You're so welcome. And thank you for all you bring and all you do to help others, Charlie. And take good care Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you very much. Shabbat Shalom.
You got it. Have a good one. Thank you so much.
Have a good one. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Charlie Harari, amazing author. He's a fantastic businessman. He will inspire you. This book is called Unlocking Greatness. It's the greatness you have within you. The unexpected journey from the life you have to the life you want. A workbook, great examples, good real stories about people, wisdom, science, the whole thing. You'll get it right here. All right, folks. Thanks for listening. This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and I appreciate you being on the couch with me. You can stay on the couch here on LA Talk Radio. Great shows are coming up for you. You know, next Friday, we're going to unlock more greatness with another author who takes a different spin. It's more metaphysical, but I'm sure you'll enjoy it. It's going to be great. And it's all about a new journey and making your life better. Thanks for listening, guys. Have a good one. Take care of yourself first. Then you'll be good for others. Seeing flashing rays are coming light.